This is Brian Cambria with news for the KVNF listening area, Thursday, May 2nd, 2013. Well, it was the same song, second verse, Tuesday, at a court-remanded hearing held by Delta County Commissioners to consider evidence about the Western Slope Layers operation on Powell Mesa. At issue is whether the 15,000 hen facility is compatible with the rural neighborhood or whether it is a menace to nearby residents. KVNF's Marty Derlin has more.
Delta County commissioners seemed defensive as the unwelcome case came before them a second time because of a ruling by District Court Judge Stephen Patrick. Chairman Doug Atchley reminded the crowd of about 20 that the hearing had a specific purpose, to allow an opportunity to respond to four documents: a report on an air quality test, an amendment to the report, a memo from the County Environmental Health Director Ken Nordstrom, and an article he attached to the memo titled "Nuisance Myths and Poultry Farming." Doug Atchley.
This is not an opportunity for anyone to present additional evidence of any type. That includes any concerns of or updates about health conditions that are alleged to have been caused by air emissions from this facility. Any such comments will be curtailed by this board and not taken into consideration.
Representing the neighbors and plaintiffs in the case were Susan Raymond and Travis Jardin. Raymond, a veterinarian whose home and practice are adjacent to the chicken farm, has become the focal point of the fight over whose rights should prevail, whose health studies offer the truth, whether the facility is industrial or agricultural, and whether commissioners are acting in accord with the county's own master plan. Susan Raymond.
The BOCC just recently denied a gravel pit near Crawford. The opponents to the gravel pit utilized our arguments almost verbatim that we used in our argument against the Powell Mesa Chicken Farm and the Redlands Mesa proposed barn. An intermittent pollutant-producing gravel pit was denied versus the county's acceptance of a 365-day, 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week discharging hen-laying facility, which, by the way, is closer to the town of Hotchkiss than the proposed gravel pit.
The gravel pit is immaterial to this hearing, Dr. Raymond.
I'm done. Thank you.
Commissioners also heard from the plaintiff's attorney, Grand Junction-based Earl Rhodes.
The evidence is overwhelming that this is a bad industrial operation which is causing real harm to real people.
Attorney Karen Bud Fallon spoke for the Hostetlers, a Mennonite family who own and operate Western Slope Layers and propose another 15,000 hen facility on Redlands Mesa. Bud Fallon is from a Wyoming-based firm specializing in private property rights.
The air quality reports confirm that these ag operations are no different than any other ag operations in the area.
The commissioners agreed to take the case under advisement once again. They have 30 days to announce their decision. After the hearing, Travis Jardin, who presented a slew of documents rebutting the four items under consideration, said finally it was all about location.
We are absolutely not opposed to these facilities in Delta County, but we just think they need to be farther away from folks the way that these facilities are performing in our climate. So we're really out to just protect the neighbors on this.
Edwin Hostetler had this to say.
They're creating their own problems on their own property. I have veterinaries that will tell you that.
In the next chapter of the chicken farm saga, the commissioners will rule, now for a third time, on the Powell Mesa hen-laying operation and on the proposed facility on Redlands Mesa. For KVNF News, I'm Marty Derlin.
Paonia's former finance officer, Kristen Chesnick, admitted Monday to the theft of almost $400,000 from the town over a four-year period. The Delta County Independent reports that Chesnick waived her right to trial and entered into a plea agreement, admitting to a series of unauthorized withdrawals between 2007 and 2011, which she allegedly covered with fraudulent bookkeeping entries. The theft is a third-degree felony, which carries a sentencing range of 4 to 12 years, plus 5 years of parole. Sentencing will take place June 24th. The town of Paonia has filed an insurance claim with CIRSA, C-I-R-S-A, for reimbursement. Jesnik may also be required to pay restitution. The town's transactions are now reviewed twice monthly by a finance committee. The Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment has approved a radioactive materials license for the proposed Pinyon Ridge uranium mill northwest of Telluride. It's the first conventional mill in the United States to be licensed in more than 3 decades. Aspen Public Radio's Elise Thatcher has more.
The mill would handle 500 tons a day of uranium and another mineral called vanadium. The company behind it needs a radioactive materials license from the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment, and that requires proving the mill wouldn't poison people or the environment. Director Chris Urbina says the company passed that test.
Since Energy Fuels has requested a license and they demonstrated that it can build and operate the mill consistent with our laws and regulations, in particular in protecting the public's health and environment, we have to honor their license request.
In Colorado, the state is in charge of deciding whether or not to approve a license dealing with radioactive material. Other states leave it up to the feds. Energy Fuels has actually gotten approval from Colorado's health department once before, but a judge revoked it, requiring more public testimony. So a long public meeting took place last November at a community center in the tiny town of Nucla. Locals showed up to speak for and against the proposed mill, saying it would help or hurt different parts of the economy. Dana Ivers is from Telluride. She worried the mill would be a death knell for tourism,
which is a much cleaner industry than the scariness of uranium. All it takes is some report getting out to the world that we have radioactive dust on our ski area.
Farmer Barclay Duranier testified her family's livelihood could be at stake.
Our ability to grow food would be crippled in the event of a major wind event, the contamination of our high alpine basin water sources, or from a catastrophic on-site or transportation accident.
State officials say Energy Fuels has shown it will run the mill safely enough to prevent any of those scenarios from happening. Uranium and vanadium mining have a long history in the farthest corner of southwest Colorado. Materials mined there were used in the bombs dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Many locals have relatives or friends who used to work in the mines or a nearby mill that's now a Superfund site. Diana Reams is president of the Nucla and Naderita Chamber of Commerce, towns near where the mill may eventually be built. She says they need more jobs and is glad to hear the license has gone through.
Finally, not to say that the mill and the mining is the only thing that we're doing to try to promote economic growth. We're also looking into call centers and some other types of industry like that that are clean and relatively waste-free.
A powerful Telluride environmental group, the Sheep Mountain Alliance, is against the mill. In an email to Aspen Public Radio, spokeswoman Hillary Cooper says the group is, quote, extremely disappointed that the state opted to ignore the scientific and technical evidence against the mill. She believes state health officials are not following their mission to protect public health and the environment. Sheep Mountain Alliance hasn't decided what to do next.
Well, we're very pleased. It's been a long time coming, and we've been expending a lot of time and resources and dollars on getting this mill license.
Curtis Moore is a spokesman and attorney with Energy Fuels. The Canadian company still has to get other permits before it can build. And even with all that investment, Moore says the company doesn't know yet whether it'll definitely build the mill. That, he says, depends on whether the price of uranium goes up. I'm Elise Thatcher.
That was Elise Thatcher for Rocky Mountain Community Radio. Writer and adventurer Craig Childs, who lives in Crawford, has received the 2013 Orion Book Award for his book Apocalyptic Planet, subtitled A Field Guide to the Ever-Ending Earth. According to the Delta County Independent, more than 200 books published last year were considered for the award, given annually by Orion Magazine since 2007. Speaking for the jury last week, Orion Magazine's associate editor, Hannah Fries, called the book, quote, a mixture of adventure, science, and engaging storytelling, a fresh and humbling way of thinking about the planet and our place within its grand, catastrophic life, end quote. Childs told the DCI that he intended the book to be a hopeful vision of the future, even if it is difficult. He said the adaptability of humans may save us from extinction. Congratulations, Craig. The Cocker Kids Foundation announced the winner of the North Fork Teacher Appreciation Award last night. Jan Rogers, a first-grade teacher from Crawford Elementary School, was the winner. Allie Lightfoot attended the ceremony in Hotchkiss last night and filed this report.
We'd like to present the 2013 Teacher of the Year Award to Jan Rogers.
That was first grade teacher Jan Rogers receiving the Teacher Appreciation Award and a $10,000 check from the Cocker Kids Foundation. Nominations from community members noted Jan's fun and innovative teaching methods and her hands-on approach. Her teaching experience spans 22 years, and she spent many of her summers attending classes to research dyslexia and its role in reading and spelling issues. She's developed or implemented several programs that are used district-wide. I spoke with Jan Rogers right after she received her award. So tell me why you became a teacher and what inspires you to do the work you do.
Oh, how I became a teacher is kind of funny. My husband was having some health problems, and I thought I might have to get a job to support our family. So I thought, well, I'll look around. And all the jobs I could find really weren't that great. So he said, well, you know, maybe you could be a teacher. And I thought, well, maybe I could. And then after I student taught, I said, oh, I didn't count on it being this fun. I really want to do this because I thought I was just going to stay home with my kids. So then I started teaching right after that. I thought, I've got to do this. This is a blast. I do come from a whole family of teachers. I just thought I wasn't one of the crew, but I am.
What do you think the qualities of a good teacher are?
Well, I think having your classroom management is essential so that you're free, everybody's free to just learn. And I have a saying by my door about how it isn't just filling the lamp, but it's lighting the fire. I think getting kids excited about learning is the thing that I love the most about teaching, and I think that's something that kids enjoy about being in my class. I'm excited about it, and so are they.
Pam Cocker, founder and director of the Cocker Kids Foundation, explains why the foundation wanted to honor a local teacher in this way and described the selection process.
We have been thinking about this for a lot of years, actually. We so appreciate the teachers in our in the North Fork Valley, and we work with them very closely, and we just have such an amazing bunch of folks. But kind of what prompted it was one of our board members had an encounter with a teacher who was working at Best Buy in Grand Junction, and she said she was working there because after 25 years of teaching, she could make more money at Best Buy than she could teaching. And that just really kind of made it all gel, and we just said, you know, we've got to do something for the teachers in this valley. So we started thinking about it. We talked to all the principals. We had a meeting with all the principals of all the schools, and we decided to honor our teachers with an award once a year.
Was it a hard decision?
It was incredibly hard. We had a huge amount of wonderful nominations. Well thought out, well written. It was tough. It was really, really tough. But we had an excellent selection committee board, and we had an advisory board, people outside of the Cocker Kids Foundation board of directors that helped us and guided us, people that were very well connected to the school board.
What was the one thing that stood out to you about things that people brought up in their nominations as far as what made that teacher important to them?
What I really loved is there was a lot of personal stories. Just simple situations that a parent or a teacher or administrator saw and gave us examples of why this teacher was great. You know, a child that was really struggling, and this person went way out of her way to help that child along and to make their path a little bit easier. So there were those kind of stories. But then on the other end of the spectrum, there were the stories that we were told by people on our selection committee that know the broader picture, that knows what that teacher did in the whole district, you know, what their accomplishments were, what their enthusiasm was for bringing new learning techniques and stuff to the community. So it was a real balance of very, very personal stuff and the broader picture of what these teachers have accomplished.
This is Allie Lightfoot for KVNF.
Jan says she hopes to take a nice trip somewhere with part of her $10,000 award. For more on this story, tune into Local Motion on KVNF next Tuesday in the afternoon. And from all of us at KVNF, of course, congratulations to Jan, and thank you to all of the teachers up and down the Western Slope who dedicate their lives to improving the lives of children. Thus concludes today's newscast. For KVNF News, I'm Brian Cambria. Good day.